Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with your host Kafam and Hugh. This week on Orange Ribbon, we'll be talking to Cleo. Cleo is a pre-op transsexual who decided to leave India and come to Australia to finally bring out the woman within a man's body. Cleo will talk about all the medical people she's had to convince she's a female and not just a gay guy who wants to be a female. Tonight's story will help you understand what it's like to be trapped in a body that is not you and what you have to go through to change your life and your body. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, you can also call Nick on reception 96992949.
Crazy Chiari from the movie, about from Bollywood, Doom 2 with Kafam and Hugh. Orange Ribbon Joy 94.9, everything multicultural. Hello, Hugh.
Hello, Kafam. What was the movie?
Doom 2.
Doom 2.
Yeah, like Doom the sound, I think. That's what it means, Doom 2. Now, Hugh, just to ask you a very topical question. What's the girliest thing you did when growing up as a child?
Do you know, you come away with the weirdest questions at times.
I don't think it's weird. I just think you're too square, Hugh.
I don't know. I think I wore my sister's high heels once and just about broke my neck. But apart from that, I can't think of anything else.
No?
Why do you always put me on the spot?
I do not put you on the spot. I'm just making a discussion. Of course, our guest tonight, you know, didn't just stop at, you know, wearing high heels and putting lipsticks on. Our guest tonight actually went further eventually one day. Welcome to the show, Cleo.
Hi, guys.
Now, Cleo, obviously, I mean, I'll just give the listener a little picture of you, because you're dressed Indian style?
No, it's quite Chinese, I think.
Is it?
Oh. It's Chung San.
Oh, you've got a shawl on, so it's difficult.
Just a mix of fashion, perhaps.
Okay.
You know, because when I came into the Joy Studio and I come out of the lift, and I see in front of me, as a lift opening, this woman, very tall woman in a cheongsam, which is tight-hugging red cheongsam. And then I was like, oh my God, who's that? And you're at least, how tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
5'9". And with the high heels, gorgeous.
I feel really small beside the two of you, actually. I have to look up to you. I'm 5'9 as well, but your high heels, Cleo, you're much taller than me.
Just fashion. Thanks a lot again.
Cleo, just to start the show off, tell us where you come from.
I was born in Madras, which is now called Chennai in India, and then we moved to Bangalore, which is the IT capital of India at the moment, where my family live.
Mm-hmm. And what type of upbringing did you have? Was it religious?
Not quite religious. We do go for temples, but only on occasions. But we do pray at home every morning before we leave, but not too religious, kind of very modern.
When I was growing up in being Chinese, my family was my mother especially was very clear as to gender roles. She would always say things like, boys don't cry if I ever do cry, and that would stop my tears immediately.
Boys don't cry.
Boys don't cry. Literally the movie.
That's a movie, yeah.
Yeah, but my mom used to say that, okay. Boys don't cry. And then what was that like for you? Did you have gender roles when growing up?
Well, I used to cry a lot. Well, at least when I'm chopping onions, quite, because I was the first child in my family. I was born as a boy. When my parents were expecting a girl, they also decided the name of Sushila, which is my grandmother's name.
Oh, that's sweet.
So then they decided to keep Sushil as boy's name, but still they were expecting a girl. And
well, do you think they were disappointed?
I don't know, because I wasn't aware when I was a child.
But they never ever indicated when you were grown up that they were disappointed.
Well, they could be disappointed that they didn't show to me. They did dress me up as a woman with my cousin, with my mother's older sister. She had two girls, whereas my mother had two sons, two boys. So it happened so only it was my cousin's sister and me. So she used to dress me up as a girl as well.
So what you're actually saying, as a young child, is this before primary school? Or?
Yes, okay. Before your preschool.
So as a young child, your mother dressed you as a girl?
Yes, and I used to be with my cousin, yeah.
And was it a full-time dress-up girl?
Well, I quite don't remember, but it's all based on the photographs I've seen that I was dressed as a woman in all different outfits and standing next to my cousin there.
What about the hair? Did your mum let you grow the hair long as well?
Well, honestly speaking, it's the religious thing that until a certain age, when you're a child, they don't cut your hair, and thereafter they shave your hair off, and then they have the earrings. No,
no. I have some Indian friends, and they have two little girls. And is it 1 year old or 2 years old to shave the baby's head?
Well, it depends again what kind of family you come from, and now it's all changed. What some people wanted to do it in the early stage before the first year birthday, so they look all pretty for the birthday party. Some do it after the first year birthday party, so they have long hair. And it depends again, they look all the astrology and what is the proper time and when your uncle is there, because they want your, they make the baby sit on the uncle's lap, and then they have to get the hair off and have the year starts done.
I'm just curious, what about, in front of me, about bio, I'm reading a bio, that at school you're forced to do sports.
Well, yes, because it's a part of a subject that's called PT, the physical time or something, so you have to do at least one of the sports. So I was forced to do basketball, and yes, I've been to the state level.
You didn't want to do it, though?
No, I didn't want to do it at all, absolutely no. I always found an excuse to go and do my dance practice, because I was a dancer since my childhood.
Okay.
And it says here also that at 93 kilos.
I was really too heavy, because down in, when I was in Chennai, I used to have meals five times a day.
Goodness. And of course, in South India, there's a lot of coconut milk in a diet, isn't it?
Absolutely. Coconut milk, oil and tamarind and everything, yeah.
Also, you told me that you were teased a lot at school because of your weight problem.
Well, that's quite true. Apart from that, I used to do lots of female performances at school as well, so it both just went hand in hand, and people used to call me by names as the female actresses, and they used to definitely tease me. I was such a fattest kid in my school.
Now, I'm correct in saying you went to a boys' boarding school?
Yes, it's a boys' school.
And you did the female leads all the time, didn't you?
Yes, I did, because I was so flexible in dancing, and the more flexible are the women, where men are not flexible when they're dancing in South India. Mm. So, yes.
I'm just curious, when we come back, as to what was expected of you to be perhaps become more masculine. You're on Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Kafam.
Joy 94.9. Orange Ribbon Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh and our guest Cleo. Now, we have a message from Frank, and he says, I've only tuned in, and does he identify as being a man or a woman? Well, Frank, Cleo actually identifies herself as being a she and as a woman, because basically, as I said, you said in the introduction, Cleo is a woman, but unfortunately, he was born in a man's body and is going to do something about it very, very soon. So, back to your story, Cleo. We were talking about you were teased at school for being 93 kilograms and effeminate.
And how tall at 93 kilos?
Well, I was 5'6 or 5'7.
At a time.
Yes, just a school kid, normal school kid.
And you were always the lead at the concerts as well. But around about this time, your parents decided to do something about you being effeminate. What did they do?
They asked me to go to the scout camps and do all possible masculine things so I can be more masculine. And it's been like since childhood, I've never stayed alone at all. At least it has to be my dad or my mom or my brother. Even if I have to sleep somewhere in the night, let it be my grandmother's place. And they sent me to the scouts, to the camps where you have to stay outside.
When you say the scout, isn't it like a holiday camp where you are sent away for a couple of weeks?
It's not quite a holiday camp. It was an intense scouts and guides camp where you do all this exercise and camping activities and swimming, rock climbing, tenting and all those things.
Now, for somebody who identified as being a woman or a girl or whatever you were at that time, that would be fairly difficult.
Very difficult. Honestly speaking, I had to do swimming as a part of the scout camping, and I was the only boy, should I say, was still wearing the vest, who ties a knot on, where all the boys there were just wearing their shorts. That's meant.
Is it the one you call the NCC still in India? National
NCC
Cadet?
Is similar to it. Yes, scouts, NCC, they all are there, part of it.
Now, one thing you did tell me, and I thought this was odd, you were, as we said earlier, you were at a boarding school, and being the female lead. But a lot of the boys sent you cards and presents. Now, tell us about this.
Well, people did fall in love with me, or probably I should say it was crushed that time, and people used to send me cards and gifts, even roses, and to be very precise, they sent me love letters written in blood, which was a bit scary.
Goodness.
Yes, because it was quite a hype that time down in India to make you prove that that person is in love with you, and but it did make me feel special, you know.
And how long did that blood letters go for?
Well, it wasn't quite often, but I did receive quite a number of letters since my year 6 till year 10. Mm.
Did you ever meet any of them?
I beg your pardon?
Did you meet any of the people that sent you the gifts? And
no, they were my classmates. So right. It was, I'll be in one end of the class and they'll be passing through all the other students, and then I get this letter and open it, it'll be written in blood, and they would have cut their fingers in the blade. And
oh, that's cute.
And cute. With the Boy Scout, you know, camping with your mother, your parents trying to make you more masculine, how did that work?
It didn't quite work because first camp I went, I had to come back halfway through pretending I'm sick. And second time, I actually took my brother with me. And so it was quite supportive, but it didn't work much at all. In fact, I did work out well and became the top lead. They selected me the presidential award, but I didn't go for it.
Mm. One thing about your school I found, it was interesting, and I was quite shocked, actually. You spoke about punishment that the teachers gave you.
Mm.
And one of them was putting their hand in your pocket.
Oh, absolutely. Can't think about it. It's
almost like, you know, a sexual nature, was it?
Well, it was quite, but you wouldn't realize when you're a child, you know. But now you go back, think about it, it's quite a sexually abusive thing.
And this was the male teachers?
Yes, of course. Yeah, they were male teachers.
So the punishment was he would put his hand into your pockets and then
pinch your genitals.
Pinch your genitals. Yeah. And he said that was a form of punishment for what you have done or said?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If they expect you to get, because I was usually on the top rank of students, and if by any chance I get low marks or anything, they call me right in the front of the class and they do that right
And he
there.
Does it in front of the class?
In front of the class, and there'll be 100 students around there.
Because when I was in boarding school, we had a history teacher. He would get us to stand in front of the class and read a passage from the history book, and then he would stroke our back the entire time. But at the time, we didn't think anything wrong was wrong with it. But now looking back, it is just so off, isn't it?
It's almost like, it's like sexual abuse, really, isn't it? You'd be up in court if it was this country. Or maybe, no, you would, actually, you would. But also, you told me that some students were asked to go to the teacher's home.
Mm.
And these were the ones that got the high marks.
Well, it was the way down in our schooling, because they were favorite students of the teacher, particularly the male teachers, where they asked them to come home for tuitions, private tuitions, so they can get more marks, quite, which actually shown in the performances, but not quite sure how they got the marks.
Mm. So. It's very interesting. I mean, it just seems a weird schooling, and Kafam coming up in India has sort of said, oh, yes, that happened. But anyway, this is Orange Driven with Kafam and Hugh.
Diversity is Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9. Orange Riven Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac. The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Of course, the very sexy Beyonce with Sweet Dreams. Joy 94.9. Orange Riven with Hugh and Kafam. And our guest tonight, Cleo.
Now, Cleo, before we played Beyonce, we were talking about you at school, but I want to move on now to when you were at uni, because this is when you started getting the urges to dress as a woman, but you didn't outside. But tell us what happened when you were at uni.
Well, before that, as I already said, that during schooling I used to dress up as a woman for my performances, so it really brought me through the femininity of myself, and I really wanted to live as a woman. So when I grew up and got into my university, it was more, and I really wanted to live as a woman, but it wasn't possible down in India, so I used to dress up in secret, perhaps wear my mother's outfits or my cousins in my room, because we all had individual rooms down in Bangalore, and even in the night when before I go to sleep, and That's kind of things.
Is this the time that you decided, well, I'm really a woman?
No, I wouldn't say so, because it was since my childhood. I wouldn't even remember since when I wanted to be a woman. No, it was when I thought I should go for it, regardless of whatever happens.
What about the perhaps, you know, because given India being a very traditional society, very clear gender roles, did that confuse you with your drive, your urge?
Well, not quite, because I was very focused on what I wanted to be. I had that goal, looking forward to, I had to live the life of a woman, because that's what I was and I am. So I was not confused at all, but yes, there were people around me who were confused, and it started triggering them to call me by names and teasing me. But it was okay since childhood, because they used to call, oh, you're having childish behavior characteristics. But as it went to my adulthood, then it started taking wrong turns.
Did any of your family, your parents included, ever question you if you were gay?
Several times. I mean, not gay, perhaps, because those days in India, it wasn't not quite familiar terms, gay, lesbians. We're not quite has reached India, or perhaps to my kind of society. But they did question me several times. They asked me not to walk as a woman, not to talk as a woman, because every time I answer phone calls at home and I do the help for my father, and they end up thanking my father, oh, your wife did a wonderful favor. And then he comes home and he says, like, they said like this, you better change your voice. And my mother wouldn't answer the phone.
And how did you feel about that?
I felt so accomplished. I felt that's what I am. I felt so good. In fact, I used to go and volunteer to make announcements in the railway stations I wasn't even paid for.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question that you don't have to answer. We had a past guest, Afi, who is already gone through the operation. When growing up very young, she used to look at her penis and used to hate it. And she used to cry when growing up. You know, what was that? What was the reaction with penis for you?
Well, I hope it's not adulterated, but I'm happy to say, because I definitely think it would help people out there. Yes, that's absolutely true, and it's the case. I absolutely hated it, and I went to the extent of going under the tap water and opened it to full speed and let it run over it, so I thought it would just wash away with it, but it wouldn't happen. But ultimately it ended up swelling, and they have to remove one of the male balls or whatever it is. But yes, I totally hate it. I don't even think it even exists for me.
So you came to Australia because you decided, well, I'm going to have an operation. Is that correct?
Well, it's not just an operation, it's just I wanted to live my dreams, and I know it's not going to happen in India with the time I was living in India. So I had to have an opportunity to fly away or step out of my house.
There is no way in India you could dress as a woman and go outside?
No, absolutely no. Not at the time I was in India, no way. My parents would have said they would rather kill themselves if I'm going to take such a decision. No.
I'm just curious, because growing up, you felt like a woman, you were a woman, you identified as a woman. Were there any role models for you?
Well, there were no role models. It was just me. I was confident. I know what I am. I had the feelings. Maybe I should say it was all other women around me who were growing up as a lovely, caring, affectionate housewife, and being a good wife or husband, and all these things made me grew up with those kind of characteristics, and I always wanted to be.
This is Orange Riven with Kafam and Hugh.
Joy 94.9. Orange Riven Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac. The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Taken from the movie Dave Does in Bollywood, Joy 94.9 with Hugh and Kafam, all things multicultural. And our guest tonight, Cleo, who is a pre-op transgender. Now, coming back, you know, you came to Australia. What made you come to Australia?
Well, I wanted to be a woman and live my dreams, and that's the only main reason I have to step out of my home and come out of my country.
How long did it take you before you started doing something about it in Australia?
Well, I actually started taking the steps the moment I stepped into Australia. I started doing my research, And it took me around 6 months to find what are the procedures. I tried all possible ways to get hormones, but it was very difficult because I thought it was easy in Australia. And people say, go to this GP and that GP and now.
Let me get this right. You were thinking of every possible step to get hormones to do it yourself?
Well, because I didn't know what was the actual procedure. I always thought, start with the hormones and then you can become a woman. That's all I knew.
And then what about the penis? Have you thought about what about the penis?
Well, I always thought, okay, take the hormones, go to Thailand and get them chopped and have a vagina made. That's it.
So are you saying it was a difficult process, finding the doctors?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think whatever the doctors said came true, because they always told me have patience. It took me 2.5 years to just get the approval. It was an intense process.
How many different types of doctors, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, medical doctors have you seen?
Well, I met 2 general practitioners, 3 psychiatrists, 1 psychologist, 1 endocrinologist, and now I'm also seeing 1 speech therapist.
Goodness. I'm just curious, have you had any bad experiences with any other doctors who didn't understand you?
Well, yes, I did. One of the psychiatrists actually said that I look like a smart boy who is gay, but she can't see me as a woman or a transsexual woman. And how much ever I tried to say or explain her that I wanted to be a woman, she couldn't understand. And she always said that I have not born in India, so I can't understand what you're trying to tell me. You have to convince me.
So the psychiatrist didn't believe you, basically.
Absolutely.
Were you dressed as a woman when you were talking to her?
Honestly, no, because I actually thought if I go as who I am and show what I'm struggling to be, at least she'll understand it. Probably I did a mistake. I should have been dressed as a woman and I would have gone there. But I think if I'm going to do that, I would just look like a cross dresser. But I really wanted to go as per the procedures and take it.
How expensive is it for the treatment and seeing all these doctors?
Well, honestly speaking, I never made a count at all. I didn't keep a count at all with all these things because I am looking forward to that one goal in my life, to be a full-time woman. And I also knew that being an overseas citizen, and I haven't got my permanent residency yet, so it's very hard for me to get reimbursements through Medicare or Medibank, but I was fine. I mean, I knew that there are going to be expenses along the way.
Did you ever get to the point of thinking, this is never going to happen, I'm going back to India?
Well, I did think this is never going to happen because of all the 2.5 years I have to go through the procedures, but I never thought I would go back to India, because the moment I stepped out of India, I promised myself I would go back to India only when I'm a woman again. Mm. And since I came to Melbourne, I have never been to India at all till date.
And how long were you here before you started dressing as a woman full-time?
To be quite honest, I have to say it's March this year. Mm. So it's just 6 months now. I'm living full-time as a woman because that's exactly when I started with my hormones as well.
Mm. This is Orange Ribbon Joy 94.9 with our guest tonight, Cleo, who is a pre-op transgender. 0427 Joy 949. If you've got any SMSs or question or email on air at joy.org.au.
Now tell me, one day you're a man, the next day you're a woman, as far as your dress is concerned. How did your workmates take it?
Well, I was quite smart, should I say. I shouldn't be telling that. But anyway, I pre-informed my colleagues. I gave them enough time. I told them almost a year back that I would possibly starting my hormones this year. So they knew it from last year. Mm. And I gave them another 6 months and then told I'm going to be dressing as a woman too. So they know everything.
Did you get any negative feedback from them?
Not that I've known face to face. Probably they would have spoken at my back, but no, everyone were very, very supportive and accepting. And even when it came to using the ladies' restroom, it was very supportive. And people, just the next day you walk into your office and they start calling me Cleo from search. And it's very accepting and people are very nice.
Mm. This has been such a positive experience for you. But what about your parents?
Well, that was also quite a challenge that I have to convince my parents. The first psychiatrist, when he approved after 2 years of assessments and he said that, yes, I agree that you're a transsexual woman, right that night. I called my father, mother, and my brother live on webcam, and I told them everything about me. And that's when I showed all my photographs as a woman to them and explained, and they were fine. They accepted me then, but down 6 months down the line, because of the society they live in, because of the people they talk, and they said, when your son getting married and everything, then my mother went down, so she pulled my father, and at the end of the day, they said, either you come back here and get married to a woman, or you do not step back here, back to India, and we are not going to see you again. So I gave another 6 months, didn't speak to them at all, didn't keep in touch, but then it took them in and they understood, and now they're absolutely fine. In fact, we went to Thailand recently for a holiday. I was full-time as a woman 2 weeks with them, and they're absolutely fine.
How do you dress when you're going through passport control?
Well, I had to pretend I was as a guy, but to be quite honest, when I went through check-ins, they said, oh, you look like a beautiful model. We could see you have a lovely walk, and you look pretty, and they gave me all these comments in Bangkok and Phuket, and I felt so shocked. I'm like, I'm dressed as a guy. I hope they're not getting me into trouble, because they had my passport in their hand. But still, they gave me compliments, and, you know, they could see me. I couldn't hide myself at all.
Now, Hugh, have you put Cleo's photo on the blog?
No.
Because Cleo has got such beautiful cheekbones, she could actually pass for a model. I think she have cheekbones a lot of girls would kill for.
I mean, want to be a model.
We spoke about when you were at school earlier, and you were 5'7" at the time, and you said you were 93
kilos. Yeah.
Yeah, but what are you now? You look about 60 or something.
Oh, no. Honestly speaking, I'm 75 now because it's my bone weight. But yes, no, I'm definitely on 93 again.
So are you on your hormone treatment as you speak?
Yes, I am on my hormone treatments.
Because when the Joy 94.9 building lift opened up and I saw the behind of you, you are very shapely, very hourglassy, I must say.
Thank you.
Is that to do with the hormone as well?
No, honestly, I was like that all the time. People used to say that you would not want to go for a cosmetic surgery. Do not do liposuction, because I wanted to do liposuction, breast implants, everything. But now, no, I've decided no, because my breasts developed naturally with my hormones. And people said, you have amazing body. Do not have a liposuction done. All you have to do a bit of exercise to maintain your body, because I might put on weight with my hormones, but 6 months down the lane, I have checked my weight and have not put on any weight at all. So it's working very well on me, and my hormone level from 29.6 came to 1.3 within the woman's range now.
Very good. What about other transsexuals? Have you ever spoken with them?
No, I have not been in touch with any transsexuals. I don't know a single person. I haven't spoken to anyone, and nor I'm part of any community.
Do you feel a need to?
I don't think so, because I am confident myself. People might say that I'm overconfident, but I think they're lovely people, the women around me who are supportive, and I can see them and I can grow. And I don't see that I have to take anything from someone, and I am who I am, and I think that will definitely take me through my life.
So when do you think the operation will take place? Because you did say to me, look, I'm not in a hurry.
That's true. I mean, okay, honestly speaking, my psychiatrist is happy to approve me early next year, because they're happy with the way I'm living and passing as a woman and being feminine and everything. But I'm definitely not in a rush. I think I'll take it slowly and see how it goes, because I was in a rush to start with my hormones, because I thought that was very important and really helps, to be quite honest. I think I'll take time for the surgery.
But from a purely medical point of view, I'm curious, is the hormone for life? After the operation?
As of now, I know it's for life, but my doctors and my general practitioners already told me that it's working out so well and taken into me that I can easily stop it in a couple of years. I don't have to at all.
You don't have to. So once you go through the operation, is that what they mean?
No, it's not once I go through the operation. It's once the total stop. Like as a man, testosterone are generated. As a woman, they need an estrogen to be generated. So now the amount of estrogen being generated in my body is acceptable to be a woman, and they just want to let it go. So it's constantly happening throughout my life, and it should be done in 2 years.
Where do you plan the operation? Because we've had post-op transsexuals on here, and both of them went overseas, one Malaysia and I think maybe both
Thailand.
Malaysia, Thailand. Mm. Where do you
I wanted
you
to go to Thailand, as always everyone wanted to be, but after I had a chat with my psychiatrist recently, and he said there is a lovely, good doctor in Melbourne itself, and probably it's close to my work too. And so I can just carry my bag and go. But okay, apart from that.
Pop down at lunchtime.
But apart from that, after I heard the amount of it's going to cost me for the surgery, and I thought probably it's a good idea to get them done in Melbourne rather than going to Thailand, paying for all the accommodation and flight fares. And if something happens, I can't be flying up and down for a check-up again.
Mm. One person we spoke to who had the operation overseas actually came back with infections and had to go to hospital here. So it was a bit of a waste of time going overseas in the first place. And I think I agree with you. You know, you're probably a little bit safer in this country.
Thank you.
When do you get your permanent residency?
I have no idea.
Have you applied for it?
A year and a half before.
So what's the chance of getting a permanent residence?
Well, I was confident before when I applied, but as of now, I don't know, because all the changes with the recession and the new rules brought up with the immigration minister, I'm still confident and crossing my fingers.
Your application, did you actually have to tell them you will be going through this operation?
Honestly, no, because I applied even before I got the approval. So that's what's stopping me even to go through my surgery, because for the surgery, one criteria is I should have registered my name as a woman.
Right.
And I couldn't register, because if I have to, I have to go through all the process of reapplying again and in a different category.
And it'll take forever.
That's right.
You know, it would be a lot cheaper when you get your Medicare. I mean, I'm happy to say that I'm happy that my tax money goes into your operation if ever you need it.
But I have a Medicare.
Aren't you covered with Medicare? That's Medibank, isn't it? That's a private company.
No, I have a Medicare because I'm a temporary resident. There are two things, TR and PR.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I got a TR with surplus 485, but it's getting expired the end of this year.
Uh-huh.
So, yes.
Still happy.
Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, Cleo, we've come to the end of the show. But it's been a pleasure talking to you. And I hope the listener has been educated tonight by you on people who want to change their sex.
It wasn't just educational. It is a lot of fun listening to your stories as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Melbourne, and
you're
thank you
person.
Guys too. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
That's on Driven for another week. Our special thanks to Cleo for her story. Coming up next on Joy 94.9 is Simon and Paul with the wonderful show Global Sounds. Thanks for joining us on Orange Room tonight. We'll be back again at the same time next Wednesday at 7 p.m. with more insights into our GLBTIQ multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. Thanks to Nick and Andrew, who've been working very hard for us tonight. They're doing all this work
and ignoring us, not looking at us.
No. We've given them all this extra work. Now they're waving to us. From Kafam and myself, Hugh, good night.
It's Kafam, not Kafam. Good night.
Joy 94.9. Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac. The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.